This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope. And the Bulldog.
You guys, we gotta take a break. More coming up after this.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, you keep with the updates on the Brandon Bean thing, like for a few days. What was that? 2 days ago?
Yeah, Wednesday.
And I think about it. And I just have not gotten to a point where I have really anything interesting to add about it. I mean, he steps in it a little bit, but was he really, you know, it was just a sort of a, it was just a conversation. Like, were you really supposed to think that Brandon Bean would cut an important player?
Oh my God, no.
Like, no. And, so, you know, just the same, he's going to cut the guys at the bottom of the depth chart sometimes for football reasons anyway. I mean, just like, I don't know. I haven't been able to sort of get to a different place on that that seems like it's interesting to listen to or talk about. Like, okay, I got it. You think it's important. You want to have your meetings. Fine. There's nothing interesting really about that. Just sort of the way it came out, it's not surprising that there was sort of like recourse, you know, there was more that happened, but it's just like, what were we supposed to actually think about what his thinking was? Like, they're just, if Josh Allen was the one guy on the team that hadn't been vaccinated, so they couldn't meet, they had to go virtual, were they going to cut Josh Allen? Like, right, not, of course not.
No. And is a player without the kind of juice Josh Allen has, in other words, someone who's at the bottom of the roster, who's going to be battling to try to make it, it's not to say like somebody wouldn't have their reasons and have like principled, you know, whatever, beliefs and whatever, but from a like odds of making the team standpoint, are you going to be the guy that doesn't get vaccinated if you're trying to make the team? Like, I know that might not be the first thing that you'd get to, but man, like if I got to do something that I'm not like inclined to want to do, but my professional livelihood might depend on it, sort of going with the flow. I mean, okay, shoot me up. I don't know. I'm not anti-vaccination, so I'm not sure what the mindset would be, but I would think a player whose livelihood would be on the line might feel some peer pressure to sort of, you know, do what's best for the team, so to speak.
And for themselves. I mean, really.
Yeah, right.
Sure. That's a little bit what masks were, you know. You're gonna have to wear a mask to come here. Okay, right? And some people wouldn't have been okay, but that's how that goes. So I don't know. I don't think it, like, I'm not saying it shouldn't be a story, but I don't think it really tells us much or anything really about what's going to happen here in the next few months. The legal, and I'm not here to speak on it because I'm not prepared to. The legal ramifications of all that, I think, are just sort of playing out or coming to the surface in society. Workplaces that want you or require you to be vaccinated, those kinds of things. I mean, I don't know what the laws are going to be when it comes to that, but I'm sure, at least I think, managers are out there trying to figure out how to deal with that, because there are people who just, for whatever reason, don't want to. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just wanted to say something once about it because I feel like it is news. It's even like league news today, or what it has been since he said it on this station the other day.
Yeah, I did learn. I mean, I guess at this point, at least the league, what I learned from what got reported today, that the league said to Brandon Bean, is that teams are not going to be, like, they can't require it. They may want to encourage it. They may promote it within, you know, within their community, let alone within their ranks of their employees, but that they cannot demand that someone get the vaccination.
Okay. So we have not had any discussion yet about the best Buffalo team ever. We've just talked about it. A guy slipped in a reference yesterday calling in, and I wrote it down. So we thought that could be good. Because you know what? All these years of this, I don't have an answer at the ready. I don't think there's an obvious best Buffalo team ever. I think that last year's Bills team is worth discussing. Mm-hmm. Even though they did not make the Super Bowl, they've done that in the past. But I think it is worth discussing whether last year's Bills team might have been like the best Bills team ever or even better than any Sabres team. I think it's, you know, possible. I don't know. Like, I don't have an answer, like, set. I want to talk it out.
Yeah. No, I know. Like, I think of a couple of things first, and this might be predictable, but I like last year's Bills, just like I like the 05-06 Sabres, for the novelty factor. I.e., they just sort of showed up and were really good, and we weren't expecting it. Now, that doesn't necessarily, that's more like from our side, what season did we enjoy the most? It's not necessarily weighing any kind of statistical criteria and deciding which team was, quote unquote, the best, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, I want to try because, you know, my mind goes to that. You know, from me talking, like 05-06, I love that season and love that team. I love the 06-07 team, but I did not enjoy the season. So, like, what am I – was 06-07, were those Sabres better than the 05-06 Sabres? I mean, in the standings, they definitely were. They won the President's Trophy.
Not by much.
The 05-06 team, right? Okay.
Not by much.
Okay. So, like, I'm not sure – like I feel like I'm muddying up the water on myself by thinking of it from that way, you know. But that's how we take these in, right? I mean, we're not all analysts. We, you know, what our favorite Buffalo sports team ever, it's going to be reflected on what we did and how we enjoyed the season that they played. And those two seasons rate very highly to me because I just think when there's little to no expectation and you get a lightning strike of a great team, that's the best ride there is in sports. But again, that doesn't mean those teams were the best, but they both definitely meet that criteria, if that's a criteria to be used in this, even. I'm not even sure.
Those teams in the standings were very close, but the one year, the first year, Ottawa won the division, so that was a second-place team and a four seed. But they were 3 points apart. The 06-07 team won 53 games. The previous year's team won 52. The latter of those teams had the better goal differential. And I do tend to care about that. But it's not the only thing. I know that if I had to do this, regular season would be big. Because that is the better reflection of how good your team was. It's the season. The playoffs are more important. It's what we remember better, but those short series, you know, if you find a stretch of seven games in these regular seasons, you'll find times where the Sabres would have been eliminated. You know, four out of seven, there is going to be that. But if the more games we're talking about, the more evidence it is whether your team was really good. So regular season would mean a lot to me. 1975. Although, you know, these teams also went deep. 1975 finals, 1980 was a great Sabres team. That's semifinals. 06-07. That's the list for the Sabres, I think. It's definitely not 99 for me. Like, that was not a great team. That was a playoff run. There were some other 70s teams that were 100-point teams. Would never be 2010. I feel like you've got four. You've got 75, 80, 06, 07 for them. Agree or no?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't no, 2010 definitely, even though they were like wire to wire division leaders, it never felt like that was a team that was going to win anything, and they went out in the first round, go figure. So yeah, I think that's probably your list. You know, I'd have trouble. Like I remember, it's funny, like I feel like because they made the finals, I have a better handle on the 75 team than I do the 80 team. I know that might not make sense, but like, cause I'm younger in 75 than I am in 80, but I just like, I don't, nothing stands out about that team to me.
80.
Yeah, 80. Whereas like 75, or you know, that's because it's really, but my first real memory, you know, like I can remember watching them before that a little bit, 73, measuring Ken Dryden's pads, all that stuff. I remember that. But the 75 team was like the team I fell in love with, you know? And after that, like, I don't know. I'm sort of a little gray on the 80 team.
Like, I'm not locked and loaded with stuff when it comes to 80, but we could look it up. I mean, they were first. Were they first in the league in points, or what were they? They were not first in the league. They were second in the league in points. Six fewer than Philadelphia. They won two rounds. They lost the conference finals, or it was the semifinals. Then in six games to the Islanders, who would win four straight cups. Nothing wrong with that, really. You had they won the Vezina. Like, you had the Sove Edwards tandem. The Vezina was done differently then, and the Sabres were the team that won the Vezina trophy. Their goalies, they scored like crazy. You had Gilbert. I mean, he was still close enough to his peak. I mean, I don't know exactly, but he was amazing that year. Bowman.
Right.
So, I mean, this is just like I'm sort of trying to piece together an argument for that team. But I mean, saying whether they were better than 75 or not is hard. I don't know how to do it. Like,
right.
It's just really, it would be numbers for me.
Right. Me either.
The 80 right. team was, that was like my first year following the league, following the Sabres. And, you know, come on.
Right. That's like 75 timing. For me then.
Yes.
Right. Same thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know. It feels like even, look, not that this is like the way to do this. Right, because we got Bills teams that are like far enough back that, like, of course, Joe and people his age did not see play. That definitely rate in this conversation when we shift over to them. Like the Bills, like which team of the four Super Bowl teams is the best? Is it the 90 team because they destroy the Raiders 51-3 in the AFC title game? Is it the 91 team? I feel like it's one of those two. I don't know, 92-93, I feel like we're didn't
definitely
quite have the juice.
Definitely.
Right? So like if we're talking about the Bills, I really think it's 90-91 and last year. I mean, no disrespect to Joe Ferguson and Joe Cribbs and those early 80 Chuck Knox. But I don't think there's another Bills team that rates being on this list.
The 60s, though,
okay.
I would say.
Sure.
And that's also like before our time, but 64 is pretty massive numbers-wise. First in the league in offense, first in the league in defense. 12-2, then a championship. Huge point differential in fewer games. Statistically, that might be their best ever team. Now, how many teams were in the league? 10?
Right, and it wasn't even the NFL.
It was not the NFL. It was the AFL. You know your sports. 90 versus 91, the defense is better in 90. Otherwise, it's pretty close to the same. Like, they've had the same record, same result, same stars, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. I don't think that's obvious either way. The 90 defense was better. Somebody might know something about the schedule because, you know, unlike hockey, you're going to have that sometimes.
Right.
The 80 team is not even close in terms of point differential to these teams. In fact, 98's better. 75's better. for a point differential than 80. So we've got four Sabre teams. We've got, I would say, 64 deserves it.
Okay.
Numbers-wise, they're tremendous.
Okay.
And they won it all. So those guys, and then 90, 91, and then last year, yeah, I agree. Last year, highest-scoring Bills team ever, second in the league in points. We talked, was it yesterday, about just the blowout wins down the stretch?
Right.
Two playoff wins, and you lost to the defending champs. Nothing wrong with that. Let's take a call or two. Best Buffalo team ever. Then, you know.
Okay. Yep.
There'll be a roller hockey team here. There'll be a
right.
A college golf team there. There'll be other.
The roller hockey team coached by Rob Ray was really, they were a juggernaut.
Did they dominate?
I don't remember.
Probably not.
Literally the only thing I remember about those games is interviewing Rob Ray when he was coaching, and he literally shotgunned an entire beer with his dress shirt open and then said, okay, I'm ready. And then I asked him questions about roller hockey.
I just did that last night at home. My wife wanted to ask me something about the vacuum cleaner, and I'm like, hang on a second. I ripped open my shirt, chugged a beer, and then sort of I burped, I think. I don't know if Rob did that, but then I'm like, okay, go ahead with your question. Now I'm ready to talk. Right. Now I'm ready to talk about the vacuum.
It really felt like a very serious endeavor. I was sitting there in the middle of the summer in the bowels of the auditorium talking to Rob Ray about roller hockey.
It's cool. Gary is with us. Hi, Gary.
How you doing?
Good, Gary. Thanks.
Hey, I have to go with the 75 Sabres. The reason I say that is because of, you can fact check me on this, but I do believe they had like 8 or 9 guys with 20 or more goals on that team. That's one of the reasons I thought they were one of the great teams, because their scoring was spread out over so many lines. And I think Rick Dudley was on third line, and I think he had like 31 goals.
Yeah, I'll bet a lot of teams had a lot of 20 and 30 goal scorers in that era because the goalies were horrible. It was just a very different sport then.
No, but can I say, though, I like this logic. Because, you know, some great teams have Wayne Gretzky. And others are deeper, you know, right? Like, isn't that sort of a better reflection of your team if you have more good players? So
they were because of the scoring.
Yeah,
they had 354 goals or something like that that year.
I like the point. Thanks, Gary. It was 9. He's right. It was 9.
Yeah,
20 or more. Can you name them?
Oh boy. Okay. All right. Perreault, Martin, Robert.
Those are all wrong.
Luce. Ramsey, Gare, Dudley, McNabb.
Second McNabb mentioned today.
How many is that? Is that 8?
That's 8. They're all right.
Oh, boy. Fred Stanfield? No.
Lorenz.
Lorenz, thank you.
Stanfield had 12. Your buddy Korab had 12 goals. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, man.
I love that. Like, Jerry Korab had 56 points that year.
Yeah.
And that was probably good, right? People were impressed with a defenseman who had almost 200 penalty minutes racking up 56 points. Were people impressed with that at the time?
I think so.
56 points. Yeah. Like, how many guys is that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I do. Look, it's not the project that you're talking about, like putting the schedule together, but I would like to look. I can do it. Pro Hockey Reference, I'll go in and see. I'll bet a lot of teams have 7, 8, 9, 20 goals. Like, it's just, you know,
well,
a lot of – there was
– A Boston team from that era, I think, has or had the record for the most guys. Like, it was had to be more than 9 because the Sabres had 9 in this one example. But they had – maybe one of them was Peter McNabb. They had 10 or more. They must have had 10 or more 20-goal scorers one year, at least one year, Boston. So Yeah, I'm sure you're right. But the Sabres are up there. I mean, they scored.
That's right. That's right.
Awesome.
And it was, yeah. I mean, and they were a great team, so it's not like, you know, every team in the league had that many guys either. So I'm not trying to say that. Like, if you're one of the best teams in the league in a season, you're going to have more guys that score more goals. I think that stands to reason. But I don't think they have the market cornered on it necessarily. But
Joe, yes, it's plus minus, but Don Luce was a plus 61 that season.
Reminds me of Vanek was like a plus 50 in 07.
Plus 61. There's a Bobby Orr and Dallas Smith, Boston, year where they, or maybe more than one, where they had plus minuses like north of that. Just,
oh yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. I think Orr still, or maybe have the record still for like single season plus minus. Gretzky probably beat it or something, but.
No,
Orr put up some
maybe.
Sick numbers.
Maybe. We'll find out. All right, thanks, Gary. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. We're talking around best Buffalo team ever. The line was used by a caller yesterday. So, like, shouldn't we have sort of an answer ready just in case anybody asks us that question sometime? What is the best team? Maybe it's 75 Sabres. Maybe it's not. We'll take a break. This is WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maybe the Buffalo Sabres said, okay, we got to stop talking about it. Or Jack Eichel said, look, this is my own personal business here, but I do not want this to be managed in a play-by-play scenario in the media. Now, would it surprise me if there was a media release at some point in the near future that said Jack Eichel had this surgical procedure? Wouldn't surprise me at all. But if that happens, we're probably going to read about it in a media release and less likely to be reporting on it as inside information.
Darren Dreger visiting on the Instigators today. Check it out. The Odyssey app is what you need. We're running ads, by the way, for a couple of podcasts, like series, that you can binge just anytime on the Odyssey app. I've finished one of them and I've just started the other. The one I finished is called My Fugitive, and I liked it a lot. So there's tons of content there, not just us, but all our radio stations throughout the company, this Pineapple Street podcast line, really, really smart stuff. We're talking about the best Buffalo teams ever, or which is actually the best. Last year's Bills, a consideration, 2020-21 Sabres, not quite. They are at 15 wins with one game left. That is the number of games the Bills won last year with the playoffs, 15. Right? Wasn't that a thing early in the season? I haven't heard a lot about it lately. Like, would they win more games than the Bills did? They have not yet passed that number. They've tied it. And football doesn't have shootouts.
No, they don't. Right. No, that's not how that goes.
All right.
I have done a little bit of work here.
All right.
On the 74-75 season as it pertains to 20 goal scorers or 20 or more goals.
Mm-hmm.
I have found two teams so far in that season that had more. The caller said the Sabres had 9, right? We just listed them.
Yes.
The Penguins had 10. The Canadiens had 10. No other team that I've looked so far had more than 9. The Bruins might have had 8. There's a couple of 7s in there. So, you know, they did stand out. They had the second most 20-goal scorers that season. 2 teams had more.
The 75 Penguins?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. You want the list?
I know. I could name a couple, I bet.
Yeah.
Kehoe.
Yep. 32 goals.
Is Pierre LaRouche there?
Yes. He had 31 goals.
I would say Kindrachuk.
I do not see his name on this roster.
Is there a Pronovo?
Yes, Jean Pronovo had 43 goals, was their leading goal scorer.
I don't know now. I think I'm done.
Ron Schock was their leading scorer.
Ron Schock.
23 goals, but 63 assists. Sill Apps had 24 goals and 55 assists. Pronovo, you mentioned. Vic Hadfield had 31. You mentioned LaRouche and Kehoe. Lowell McDonald had 27 goals. Chuck Arneson had 26.
Chuck Arneson.
Yeah. Bob Kelly had 27.
Bob Kelly's on the 75 Penguins?
You know.
Like the Bob Kelly? Wasn't he in the finals against the Sabres in 75?
There were two Bob Kellys, I think.
Maybe they were, or else he was on two teams. They wouldn't allow that.
Yeah, no. Hound Dog Bob Kelly was the Flyers guy, and I think this Bob Kelly might have been Battleship Bob Kelly. Although I don't see a nickname here on his hockey reference page, but this Bob Kelly never played for the Flyers.
Well, I've always liked that about him.
Yeah, right.
All right. Look at this stuff. Look at this material. How's this for content?
Ron Schock.
Ron Schock.
Just came up on the show.
Chuck
Ron
Arneson.
Schock.
Chuck Arneson was one of the competing rival station anchors and anchorman. Chuck Arneson, I believe. He scored 20 goals for the Penguins once. Maybe he's listening.
26 and 32.
Those guys sound like guys who could be listening to our show. Mm. Right? We're just sort of reading names. Chuck Arneson. Hey, the guy's right. I'm Chuck Arneson. That's me. I did that. I scored 21 goals for the 75 Penguins. They're talking about me.
Colin Campbell was on the 75 Penguins.
And the goalie would be, I'm going to say Dion is his name. Michel Dion.
I do not see Dion here. I've got Gary Innes, Michelle Plossy, Bob Johnson, and Dennis Herron.
Oh, Dennis Herron. Remember that
great
guy?
Great masks. Dennis Herron had great goalie masks.
Didn't he have like a huge winning streak in his career, or was that just against the Sabres? There was a thing where you couldn't beat Dennis Herron. Played for Montreal later, like in the 80s?
Yeah, he played for Montreal from 79-80 through only a couple of years, 82, and then he's back to Pittsburgh. He did have a 39. No, wait, those are losses.
Whoops.
Sorry, it was in bold print in like near the one loss column. Like, 39 wins. No, 11, 39, and 11.
Tough. Tough year.
Yeah.
11, 39, and 11.
Yeah. Yeah. Goals against 4.04 save percentage, .890.
That's probably tough. Good.
Yeah. But that's probably not brutal.
Probably league average.
Yep. Yep.
Here is Blake with us. Hello, Blake.
Hey, guys. I would go with a hybrid of the two Sabre teams, 05, 06, 06, 07, for a variety of reasons. One being I was living in Boston in 06, 07, and I think we went 6-0 against the Bruins. It might have been 8 games that season against division rivals, but it just seemed that even when you were down in the third period with that team, you had nothing to worry about, and checking a score going into the third down on your phone, you knew somehow they were going to pull it out. And I also thought in 05-06, I think Briere and Drury had abdominal surgery. I think Miller missed 10 games and Braun came in, and it was like they didn't miss a beat. So the fact that they kept winning with a lot of depth, 4 lines rolling, and just the impression that you were going to pull it out on most nights for 2 years strong was something I'll never forget and certainly miss these days.
There was a famous win in Boston early that second year where they had the winning streak going and they were down 4-1 or something and came back and won that game.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Maybe in the third period in that game.
Yeah, yeah, it was all pretty late. Thank you. Yeah.
I know, like, the personalities involved is not how you are going to determine, how we're going to determine if we're actually going to get a final answer on any of this. Like, who, you know, what's the best team ever? But I feel like Dumont and McKee matter a lot to me in this. Like, thinking about 05-06 versus 06-07. Even though the 06-07 team was as great as it was, like, those guys, it stung losing those guys. In that offseason. Right? McKee left for the Blues, and Dumont, they walked away from an arbitration award. I don't know. That was tough.
And eventually Marty, too.
Right, at the end of 07. Yeah, trade deadline. Yeah.
Well, the 05-06 team started 9-9. I remember that number. That's that right around that. Well, it's later than that, but that loss to Ottawa where Miller was hurt that day, and they got two guys scored 4 goals each.
Right.
For Ottawa. So they did not start that well, but after 9-9, I mean, you had a great season. Okay. Guy scored 4 goals against the Sabres last night. And that was a guy who was in the league then.
When Jeff Carter, his name came up on trade deadline day. No, it wasn't trade deadline day. It was just me watching a random game at some point in March or something. And I saw Jeff Carter. I'm like, Jeff Carter is still playing? I feel like Jeff Carter played in the playoffs against the Sabres in 01. Yeah, I know he didn't, but it feels like he was there that long. Like I couldn't believe he was still playing.
He did in 06.
Right, I know that. Right.
He was on that
and
team.
And Richards, yeah.
And their last series he played against
right.
them.
Right.
That's I guess this Hauser is 28. Like, he's not 20. The reason his story is part of it being so appealing is that he is older. Like, that's the story. He's been around.
Right.
He's going to say something about how, like, in that game, Jeff Carter scored 4 goals on him. And so somebody might that really knows the league might be like, you're saying now, sort of, really? Like, that was when that happened? Wasn't he retired or something?
Right, right. I mean, think about, like, he and Mike Richards they came up together, like, they were they were the core of the Dry Island Flyers. Like, remember that? Like, that was them. And Richards is, like, long gone, right? I mean, he's just gone. He had health problems and some pretty serious stuff, but it blew my mind that Carter is still around. That's all.
06 Flyers. Right, they were a combination of those two.
Yeah.
And then Forsberg. I mean, veterans. Right. Hatcher. Forsberg. Yeah. Boy, I cannot say those names without sort of putting that little thing in my voice.
Right.
Just, ugh.
Every
Flyer's name comes with an
ugh. Is Shel Samuelson one of the, like, aircraft carrier defensemen there along with Hatcher?
No.
No, he's before that, right?
Rathje.
Okay, right, right.
And they had Gauthier. Gauthier was the guy that everybody was mad at. Okay. He was, like, dirty. Gauthier, yeah. Dennis Gauthier, Rathje, I think, might be right. Hatcher's right. You had the one nice, was it Kapanen? Was that the name?
Yeah,
yes. Sammy Kapanen.
He was good.
Forward, though.
Yeah.
That's not who I mean then. I think they had a defenseman, I think, from Finland who was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, no. Kimmo Tiimonen.
Tiimonen.
Yeah, he went to Nashville after that. Yes, that's what you're thinking of.
I don't have him as there yet, though. Yoni Pitkinen they had.
Pitkinen.
Okay.
They had Tiimonen after. I think Pitkinen's Kapanen, the one you
Pitkinen,
want
Kapanen, Pitkinen, Tiimonen. We had Numanen.
Oh. Right. I was just thinking of Shel Samuelson because his son is playing for the Sabres here. So
that's who that is?
That's Michael. Yes, that is his son.
I think of Shel Samuelson as being like 6'7", 190.
Okay, sure.
Like tall and skinny. Maybe he wasn't skinny.
He didn't. The reason I thought of him is because, like, those Flyers teams, like, they couldn't move. Maybe he's there in 01, Shel Samuelson. But
maybe.
He was, you know, he was big and not real mobile.
01 is Desjardins.
Okay,
he's on that team in 01.
He's there in 06 also.
He was?
Yeah.
That I didn't know. I didn't remember him being on that team.
You say his name, and it feels to me like he scored 600 goals on slap shots from the point against the Sabres.
We can look that up. Does Stathead have that? Can you sort by slap shots? against the Sabres. They probably do have type of goal like that. They probably do have that.
Somewhere they do. I mean, I know, whatever. My kid's playing junior hockey. He gets very detailed breakdowns of, like, shots, where the shots come from, where he gets beat. Like, it's the whole team gets it. It's really impressive. So I'm sure the NHL has crap like that for sure.
This has got to be short, but I want to get this in now. John, go ahead, John. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. I'll keep it short then.
Okay.
The one thing I will say, last year's Bills team wasn't the best team, the best Bills team of all time. But for me, I think you guys mentioned this, it was definitely the most fun I've ever had with the Buffalo team. Living in Connecticut, in the 1990s, my kids were born. Now they're 19 and 17 and fighting for years to keep them Bills fans in Connecticut instead of Giants or Jets or Patriots fans. And I'm like, just wait it out. We're gonna do this. And that was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the best team had to be the first Super Bowl team, Bills. I mean, they went into New York in the regular season. Kelly got hurt and they beat the Giants. They had one bad game. They were by far the best team in the NFL that year. And they just, one bad game. But that was the best team, I think.
Interesting. All right. Thank you. I think the Niners have to be mentioned for that. If you're trying to figure that out, best team in the league that year. But, I mean, that was a great Bills team, obviously. So, for sure. Maybe that is the best Bills team ever. It's
on the list.
There's four I think you could go with. Thanks again, John. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this on WG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Gar. One more time for the week. Caller 5 at 644-9878 wins two tickets to see Genesis. The Last Domino, KeyBank Center, November 27th, 8 p.m. General contest rules apply. See, with Genesis, I don't put that little thing in my voice like I do for Flyers players' names. That little that little sort of sandpaper. Little gravel. Yeah. Not for Genesis, no. Some bands maybe. Oh. Slayer. Right? It's got to be. It's got to be metal, or else you can't do that for like ABBA. You can't do. You can't use gravel. Joe, if I've said it once, you can't use gravel for ABBA.
No.
There's no gravel in ABBA.
No, ABBA's gravelless. Yeah.
It is gravelless. Yes. Good luck, by the way, if I didn't say that to our contest participants.
Right.
Justin is next. Hello, Justin.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Great, Justin. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. I like the 2020 Buffalo Bills, even though it just happened last season. I'm looking at their stats, comparing them to the 1990 Bills, and I really like them over them because Josh Allen, 14 more touchdown passes than Jim Kelly that year. The only position where we're not better is running back, and obviously a lot worse than running back because Thurman Thomas was awesome. But Cole Beasley having more yards than Andre Reed that year, I thought really stuck out to me how deep this team really was. And even though they couldn't get past the AFC Championship, I think this Bills team may have been the best in Buffalo history.
I do, too. I do, too. You've got to – thanks, Justin. I mean, you've got to – what they say, they call it normalizing. You have to normalize for the era. Mm-hmm. You can have a much more scoring league last year than 30 years before. But
and much more passing, too, even though the, you know, so no Bruce Smith on the 2020 Bills, though. I mean, there's no character like that. I mean, potential Hall of Fame defender. I mean, I don't know, maybe Tre'Davious White someday, but he got a long way to go.
No sack leader.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I like trying to figure out how to figure it out. I mean, the guy before with the depth point about the Sabres team in 75. Like, yeah, that's good, right? Because if you have the Dominic Hasek, now the Sabres did not ever have like a great season with Hasek. They had good seasons and they had good playoffs. But if you've got like a star goalie, a star player versus a team that is more well balanced, that's an interesting debate. Like, which is the better team? If they both win the same number of games, I'm not sure either is the better team. But you might think so. And this thing with the Bills, too. Like, do you have to have a Bruce Smith? You have to have somebody, like, dominant players. Do dominant players help? That's how you think of other great teams. You'll think of the names. You think of the guys, and you'll maybe look up the numbers, but you'll be able to think of the players. Like, you couldn't block this guy. You couldn't cover him, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So different ways to look at it. I think we have a game coming up.
We do.
We do have a game. That's confirmed.
Wow. I feel like it's been a while. I feel it's been a little while.
Too long.
It's right? One.
We had you were off two Fridays ago. Last Friday was the draft. I was away in between, like whatever. I feel like I've had a Friday 6 o'clock game in a while.
It's a game Bulldog has played, but Mike has not.
Ooh. Oh. Well, it isn't.
Is this another round of who he play for?
Who he not play for.
Who he not play for.
Interesting. Right. I was going to say, it's not Pie Face, because I've played Pie
who,
Face.
Yeah, who he play for is the TNT thing they do to Barkley.
Yes.
That's what that is.
All right, I'll play this. I don't even know of it, so I'm excited. It's not Pie Face. I've played Pie Face.
Is this the game where you get a question wrong and you just get hit in the face with a pie?
Yep. There's a little hand that holds a little like shaving cream or something, and you push the button down, and the hand propels forward and throws shaving cream at you.
What do we need the button? I can't just, like, your opponent can't just do it?
No, it's not. Okay. That's not it.
No, these shows have a budget, Joe. They get special effects. They've got a hand.
It's a lever. Board game. It's a board game. I've played it with Garnet. She loves it. I mean, she gets to throw shaving cream in my face. Just, come on. It's, like, allowed. It's encouraged. It's the object. All right, let's play this game. I'll shut up. And we will play, what is it?
Who he not play for.
Okay. That's next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.